Welcome, everybody, to Squibload Podcast. I'm Sean.
I'm Case.
And today, we got a lot going on. We got to talk about SHOT Show and all the various dramas
there. SHOT Show went down. Yep.
Before I get into that, you can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Email us at squibloadpodcast@gmail.com. Squibload Podcast is our Instagram handle. Please send us a message. Watch our videos there. Follow us everywhere.
Yeah, we're going to have some videos up there to tell you guys about some stuff. What we were talking about holsters, what we were talking about plates. And we're going to have those up. Probably before this video comes out.
Yeah, you'll probably see them by the time
before
this video is out.
Before
the Spotify. So we're trying to make more content on our other platforms. But anyway, this is a podcast about guns. We're going to talk about some gun stuff now. So recording this beginning of February, and SHOT Show just happened.
Yep.
So there's a lot of stuff at SHOT Show.
A lot of stupid shit.
Case, before we get into our topics, what do you think about SHOT Show as a concept?
It's okay. I mean, we've talked about SHOT Show a million times.
Yeah.
There's my favorite part about it is not the guns. It's all the stupid shit that people try to put on guns.
Yeah, people are really goofy with their attachments.
They had an AR stock that you can press a button on and then it can swivel so that you can use your canted sights. Looked retarded.
Yeah. Which you can just, I don't know.
You that see anything one, bad?
I always see tons of stupid stuff at SHOT Show. I will say, this is the first year where I didn't like actively follow it. Because I knew that the good stuff was going to get a spotlight shown on it within like a week afterwards.
Yeah.
And then the really stupid stuff would be have a spotlight shown on it for another reason, like a week after. And I was kind of right.
Yeah. Palmetto killed it.
They do every year.
They're probably doing the best out of any company right now.
They're doing really good lately. There's a few other brands that I want to bring up that I think are doing really good stuff. But PSA, over the last like 2 to 3 years, has been really making good stuff.
The PSA method is... they're the opposite of Glock. Wherever Glock never innovates and never does anything new or never like impresses anybody, PSA innovates too much. And
all
they're
the
like,
time.
We got 50 guns we can make. Yeah. And they're all of them are something somebody wants, but we're only making 2.
Yeah.
Vote on them.
I think it's a really smart business model to just like take guns that somebody else made, but make them more accessible and cheaper to like acquire.
And they don't even copy that bad.
No, they copy pretty well. Like a way that it's like it's still unique. Like we were always talking about the AKV and how good of a gun that is.
Yeah.
And that's the Vichaz, the Russian Vichaz submachine gun. And they cloned it in a way that it's very unique. Like the AKV has a lot of qualities and traits that are unlike a Vichaz.
Yeah.
And so it's, in my opinion, kind
it's
of an upgrade.
Thing.
It's its own thing and it's an upgrade.
One thing we can say that's bad about Palmetto is they just keep making 9mm fucking
carbines.
They love them. They got like, I think they literally have like 16 different kinds
right
now.
Right.
Especially if they get voted in.
I also don't want to criticize them too much for this, but I think they're a little too ambitious with certain projects.
Yeah.
Like they said they're going to make an STG-44.
Still
obvious, though they're not going to. I don't think they're going to at this point. Like it may have even been canceled, but that is such a difficult gun to make. And then who is going to buy... first of all, an STG is going to be super expensive. And then they're going to buy like these weird magazines. And I don't even know what it was going to be chambered in. But
they've had the Bison clone that goes and fits into the AKV in the background of their videos for like... yeah. 2 years, and every video has a comment that's like, when's the AKV Bison coming out? And it's like, it's not even there. Someone else made it, and they just have it back there to troll.
I think it was some third party made like a magazine, like you can modify your AKV to accept the mag.
Yeah, you just
have
to change the
magwell.
The magwell, and you have to change the shrouding on the barrel.
Right, which is pretty... that's not as complicated as making a whole new gun.
And we've talked about it, and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It doesn't work at all.
Yeah, there's problems with the Bison.
It looks cool on the wall, like most guns do.
I think the Bison is a very cool-looking gun, but I don't know if I'd want... I mean, just loading a helical magazine like that seems like a nightmare.
Me and Sean aren't the richest people in the world, and we could start a YouTube channel and make a gun wall with a whole bunch of guns that don't work in the background that would impress people.
100% true.
Guess what? You couldn't shoot any of them. And that's kind of what Palmetto's doing, and they're a million-dollar company.
I feel like if I had one of those gun walls and I wanted to just have something to impress people, I would get a lot of airsoft guns and then, like, spray
paint.
That's
basically what they're doing.
Yeah. I mean, in a way, yeah.
All right, let's get into the first one.
All right, first topic. There was some drama at SHOT Show, and this is really interesting to me because it was like this saga.
It was a myth.
It was like the Odyssey. Like
I told Sean about it. It was a myth.
Yeah, so basically at SHOT Show, there was one company there called BSD, and they advertised that they are making a clone, like an American-produced clone of the ASVAL /VSS rifle.
Your favorite gun from every
game.
Chernobyl game.
Yeah, Chernobyl, Tarkov. It's in all those games. I'm sure everybody knows what a VSS is, but... if you're not familiar with it, we'll get into the details later, but basically, it's an integrally suppressed rifle that shoots the Russian equivalent of 300 Black, and so it's used as, like, a designated marksman rifle, and then also you can see, like, variants of it that are, like, for CQB, But and, it's like a very quiet 300 Black-esque gun.
And it's very, like, as soon as you see it, you know what the fuck it is. Because it's in all these video games, but no one's ever actually shot one.
Yeah.
Because they're not in America.
Yeah.
And there's videos of YouTubers shooting them, and they're just like a rare commodity.
Yeah, it's one of those things where...
And it's not an AK.
It is not an AK.
It's completely
people different. Think it's an AK because it has the same safety style and the dust cover looks similar.
Yeah.
Cosmetically, it kind of looks like a weird AK, but it doesn't work the same at all. It's a completely different gun.
If we had a dollar for every gun that looked like an AK and had the AK dust cover that was nothing like the AK, we'd have $1 million.
I might be able to afford a VSS.
Yeah.
I think because, yeah, you can't legally import them from Russia. So the only ones that are here are like... weird clones that people are made or weird parts kits that have made their way into the country somehow. There's not a good way to get them, and they're very, very expensive if you can manage to buy like a used one or a parts kit or whatever.
Still not the rarest gun, but still rare.
But they're up there. Yeah. I mean, in terms of like unobtainable guns, they're up there. I think that there is a market for reproducing them. I think someone is eventually going to make a clone of them, and that's what this guy is trying, this BSD company is claiming that they're going to do.
If you want the history on it, watch Forgotten Weapons. If you want to see how it works, watch Forgotten Weapons. If you want to see it shoot, watch Brandon Herrera. I think he has one.
He does have one. Yeah. I think Grantha might also have a video of it, but he used Brandon Herrera's.
Yeah, he's probably just used Brandon Herrera's.
But it's a cool gun. It's neat. I think it's overhyped because it's like, in video games, it performs as it's like the silent assassin sniper rifle, and it's kind of not that.
Yeah.
It's very similar to like a 300 Black suppressed gun, but it's neat. So.
And video games are always going to trick you whenever they put a... optic on an AK, it's gonna look like the craziest thing in the world, and that's kind of what this is.
Yeah, it looks really cool. So the drama is that this company BSD was like, I'm gonna make an American produced reproduction of the VSS, and it's gonna be available, and it's gonna be like $7,000.
Yeah,
and it's gonna be ready in 9 to 12 months. I'll produce them en masse and sell them to the public. And Ian from Forgotten Weapons, who
I love him.
I love Forgotten.
We knew Weapons. He did no wrong.
Sometimes I don't agree with everything he says, but he's obviously a very smart guy.
Yeah.
When I was getting into guns, he helped me learn a lot of stuff, and he's still a good source for like, what's this obscure thing? And you can Google it, and he's like the Wikipedia of the gun world. He wrote a book on the FAMAS. He also wrote a book on just French military history firearms.
Yeah.
And I have a few of his books. They're very good. Anyway, that's enough glazing of Ian from Forgotten Weapons. Ian interviewed this BSD guy who's making the VSS. And Ian was kind of grilling him a little bit. He's just like, how are you going to do this? Where'd you get this part? And the guy from BSD was basically like, most of these parts are borrowed or made from someone else. And then I have a plan to produce them myself.
Yeah.
But this is just kind of this cobbled together gun that just to show at SHOT Show.
He said he had a CAD file that has all the info.
All the info.
He just can't send it to you because it's he doesn't want you to steal his ideal. Because, you know, Forgotten Weapons is just going to open up his own factory and start stealing.
Right. So,
or he's lying.
So this guy was like, I can't tell you where I got my CAD file, which either he made it himself and it's like completely messed up and wrong, like the tolerances and the part measurements are all wrong, or he got it from some like shady Russian guy who knows who works in the factory to make these things. And neither of those sources fill me with a lot of comfort about this project. And that's kind of what Ian was saying, where he's just like, Ian made a video like a week after SHOT Show, and he was like, this project is probably going to crash and burn. So don't give them any pre-order money because they're not asking for any right now. But if they do later, don't give them money because what's probably going to happen is that this guy, BSD, is going to learn how hard it is to copy a gun by himself.
Yeah.
And it's just never going to happen. He's going to keep asking for more money. It's going to keep getting delayed and it will never come out. And if you pre-order it, you can say goodbye to your $7,000.
It's like Half-Life 3.
Right. Exactly like Half-Life 3. Case, what do you think about... BSD making the VSS.
Okay, so I was the one who saw him complaining and told Sean about it.
Yeah.
And then it took us forever to find the comment again, but I never watched the video and I didn't watch his review. I just watched it. The whole time Ian's talking to him, he asked, like, in the first, like, 2 minutes, he asked where, like, 4 parts are from. And he's like, I borrowed them from some guy. We're going to figure out how to
produce it. In the next 9 to 12 months, we're going to figure out how to produce these parts.
Yeah. And it was like, it sounds like he just like got a whole bunch of parts put together, said he could make a gun, and now he's going to ask people for money. He said he wasn't going to do that immediately after the comment, and after all the drama, he started the fucking GoFundMe. Yeah.
So Ian interviewed the guy, and then Ian posted separately a video about like, hey, this is probably a bad project, like I said. And then the BSD guy commented later on social media, and he's like, Forgotten Weapons, what the hell, dude? Like, you're going to come over and interview me and be all nice, and then you're going to make a video about how bad my project is?
Yeah.
But in reality, like, I watched Ian's video and saw the initial interview, and I'm like, he's really – it reminded me of, like, a dad, like, trying to help a kid who has no idea what he's getting into, where he's like – he's not talking shit. Ian isn't like, this guy's stupid, don't give him money. He's like, I've seen this project done before.
Never
with,
worked.
With other guns. Someone tried to make a G36 clone. Someone tried to make an FG42 clone. And Ian is like, these never come out by these small teams of people who, it's their first project. Rich, yeah. And this BSD guy is like, I mean, how old did he look to you? Like,
not old enough like, to know.
Maybe mid-20s?
And also him saying that Forgotten Weapons went out of his way and like fucked him and was lying. He was cussing in the thing. He was like, this guy is a snake salesman, which is what he is.
Yeah.
So he's just like projecting onto Ian what he is. And he's just saying that he's lying. And then I watched the video, and Ian clearly is, like, making faces at the fucking camera. Like, I don't know about
he's
that.
He's like, I don't know. That's a little sketchy, yeah.
He's like, And he's like, and then he's like, so do you have everything figured out on how to do it? And he goes, I have a CAD file. And Ian goes, oh, okay, what's that? And he's like, I can't show you. And he goes, okay.
Well, then, all right.
So it's just, the whole time, he wasn't being, he was clearly putting it all out there. Like, I don't know. That sounds sketchy.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he released his video, and he said, yeah, it was sketchy.
It's sketchy, and you probably shouldn't get it. So here's where I stand on this. I think that Ian sometimes gets criticism like this because he can come off as harsh and not like the most sociable person, but he's really smart. And I don't think this was done as like a sneaky negative thing. Cause a lot of YouTube creators do things like that where they're like, I'm going to be really nice to you to make a video. And then when the video comes out, I'm going to be a huge asshole so I can make money.
It wasn't even an asshole. He just said like, I don't think it's going to work. Don't
that's,
give him money.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think Ian was being an asshole about this. And I also agree with him. Like, I have nothing against this BSD guy, especially, like, I want to make that clear. Just because this guy is trying to do something, I don't think it's malicious. I don't think he's going to, like, I don't think he's intentionally going to run away with people's money and then go live on an island somewhere. I think he's going to really try to do this project and then figure out how fucking hard it is.
Fail.
And then run out of money and then stop. But that's not, like, you're not scamming people if you also yourself run out of money. Well, I guess you are still scamming people. It's just not intentional.
Yeah. But he doesn't have Palmetto money, wherever he can lie to you for 3 years about the SGG-44. Right.
Yes, he does.
It's coming, guys, I swear. What's it chambered in, the STG-44
that's,
they're making?
That's what I don't know, is because I feel like logically speaking, it should be chambered in, like, 7.62x39.
Yeah.
Or something.
I bet they were like, we're making a 5.56.
Maybe. It might have been. I know the original STG was an 8mm Kurtz, which is a really weird cartridge that nobody uses. And that I'm pretty sure the... STG is like one of the only guns to use that cartridge.
Yeah, and Hitler hated the original STG.
Yeah, he was like, stop making it.
Yeah, we snuck it in and then it designed guns forever.
Yes.
Yeah. So this guy's a little snake salesman. He's probably, and then like, not only is he a snake salesman, and then he just immediately doubled down on being like, fuck Forgotten Weapons, who is a completely reputable source and was saying what he thought, and he just made himself look like an ass. TFB got involved in it, and where it was from was TFB made it look really cool, but he doesn't, I don't know, if James Reed knows as much about guns as Forgotten Weapons, I'm going to guess not.
Probably not.
He kind of glazed them. The video got a whole bunch of views. People think of AS Val clones coming out. Probably not.
Probably not.
Forgotten Weapons told you it's not.
And then
the guy didn't even have his own booth.
No, he was just like in B&T's booth, which is a bigger...
Because they made the suppressor.
Yeah, B&T is like a really cool company, and they're very nice to like up-and-coming gunsmiths and creators and stuff. And so this BSD guy is just one dude. And I will say, like, credit where credit is due. This is why I'm trying not to be too mean to this BSD guy, is because, like, props to him for being a young guy and being like, I'm going to make this project that no one's like successfully done before. Because you need people like that to have ideas to innovate. I don't want to shit on people who are trying stuff that's hard. But also just like, realistically, I'm like, I don't know how you could possibly be successful with this.
You're not.
He's probably not. And he did, like, you know, a little bit after the Forgotten Weapons video criticizing him came out, he announced that you can pre-order the gun for like $7,000.
Which is exactly what they said would happen.
Yeah. And so Ian is so far being proven right. And I'm like, I kind of have to agree with Ian. Not like obviously his word is worth a little bit more than mine, because I'm just, you know, but.
The little code that they released.
Yeah, BSD released a QR code. You can pre-order the gun for like $7,000. I'm like, man, I wouldn't pre-order any gun like that, first of all, because I've never heard of BSD before this.
Yep.
He's never made a gun before.
Yep.
He claims to have like made his own reproductions and sold them, but I don't see that on his website. So I have no proof that he's like a good machinist or can do this.
Can you buy any guns on his website?
I didn't check that, maybe, but if it is, I think it's like he made reproductions of like SKS, so I think.
His dust cover wasn't his. It was an AR bolt inside.
Yeah.
It was chambered in 300 black. It was, the suppressor wasn't his either. That's why he was at the booth.
Yeah.
So we got like four parts already that we don't even know if they work.
And those
and
are,
then yeah. Everything else is just the frame and the trigger.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe the spring. Maybe he made the spring. Good for him. He made an AK style spring.
I know that if you have a bolt, like he had an AR bolt that was just for show.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm not going to use an AR bolt in my finished product. Which, by the way, designing a bolt carrier group for a rifle you've never held or shot.
Yeah,
like,
it's impossible.
Yeah, good luck.
Reinvent the wheel real quick.
Yeah, that's really hard to do. And then also, because he used an AR trigger in that demo gun, you could just drop in like a regular AR trigger for that bolt. And it wouldn't be that hard. But then you got to design a new trigger to work with your new bolt that you made. I mean,
cool if he could make it work with an AR bolt and an AR trigger, because then it would be more accessible to fix and all that.
And cheaper to produce.
Yeah, and it would be easier for him. But guess what? He didn't figure that out yet.
Yeah.
Because he's a snake salesman. He's lying.
It's just not going to work.
Yeah.
So that was the ASVAL / VSS. I keep using those terms interchangeably. They're kind of the same gun.
They are the same gun. They are. It's just chambered in something different, which is always good. Whenever you see a platform that's coming to America, wherever it's copying a cool gun you've seen, and you're trying to get a clone, you want it to be in a new chamber. Think of the 5.7 MP7 they're releasing.
Yeah.
I would much rather it be in 5.7 than what the MP7 normally shoots.
It's 4.6, I believe.
Yeah, which is almost unobtainium
round. Yeah, it is.
I don't know how GBRS is always fucking laying down rounds in their videos.
Sent ammo by people.
Every time they fucking shoot that thing, I'm like, damn. I just watched $1,000.
I was going to say, I think those 4.6 rounds are like 90 cents or something like that a round, which is, they shoots really fast, so that's a lot of ammo.
It would probably be always out of stock.
Yeah. That's like the same price as 308, basically. I mean, 308's a little cheaper, but.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, so we talked about the VSS drama. So I want to talk about this real quick. The VSS is a super cool gun, and it would be a nice-to-have thing. Like, it's a cool gun. Not a must-have, but a nice-to-have. What makes it interesting is the suppressor. Mm-hmm. It's an integrally suppressed gun, which are very cool. The MP5 SD is similar, but it's a little different in that the VSS traditionally uses a wipe suppressor and not a baffle suppressor.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to briefly talk about the difference between those two things and why the wipe suppressor is desirable but kind of finicky, and why generally you don't see those in the United States. So the wipe suppressor, and I'm going to really generalize like and oversimplify how that works, but basically a baffle suppressor is an attachment at the front of your gun with these little pockets, and when you shoot a round, the round will leave your gun like normal, but then the gas traveling behind the round will get trapped in those little pockets called baffles in the suppressor, and then by the time the gas actually leaves your gun, it will be slowed down and not as loud.
And it'll shoot right into your face.
All the gas that got trapped in those baffles does tend to come back to you.
Yeah, it goes.
People have invented really creative designs for suppressors to where it doesn't shoot right back into your eyeballs.
Like holes at the end.
Yeah, just all sorts of creative stuff. But generally speaking, baffle suppressors, you do get some gas in your face.
Whenever you watch YouTube and you see everybody has a suppressor and they're so cool, just know they're paying a shitload of money. They have a tax stamp. And these won't have a tax stamp because it comes on the gun already. So you don't need a tax stamp to buy.
Yeah.
But you're already paying $7,000 for the gun, so clearly
you shouldn't need to wait for it anyway.
But yeah. But and suppressors have a lot of snake salesmen too.
Yeah.
I was kind of telling him about companies are just like stealing your tax stamp and selling you a really bad suppressor for like you think you're getting a good deal, and then people have been cutting them in half and seeing like this is like barely does anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're just getting tricked for a barrel extension that barely silences your gun.
And also, I mean,
they love to do it to 300 black.
I've said for a long... Yeah, 300 black.
Because it's so quiet already.
I've said this for a long time. I think suppressors are really cool, and they're obviously very useful. They're very practical. But you have to ask yourself, why do I need one? Because they are very expensive, and they have a lot of downsides. Like, they do add weight to the very front of your gun, which is... Even if it's only, like, a few ounces, if it's hanging off the front of your gun, you're going to feel that weight.
Yeah.
And then also, they cause your gun to overheat more quickly. Like, the suppressor will start to glow and be very hot to touch. And it makes it, like, if you're shooting at an indoor range just for practice or whatever with your suppressor, It's gonna take longer for the gun to cool off in between volleys and shots.
Does it make you more accurate or less accurate?
It doesn't really have an effect on your accuracy.
Yeah.
You could argue that because the barrel is longer, that could make you more accurate, but it's really negligible. It really doesn't, in terms of like the like velocity and accuracy, it doesn't do much if we're just talking about baffle suppressors.
In real life, does it make you not appear on the minimap?
Yes.
Okay. Just make sure.
That's the point of suppressors, is that like
in video games, it makes you not appear on the minimap when you shoot. So it's so good.
Yeah. So suppressors make it very difficult to tell where the shot is coming from quickly. Mm-hmm. So instead of taking, like, let's say you're like, I don't know, in a field and someone is shooting at you with a rifle. When it's not suppressed, you can see the muzzle flash from the gun and also hear the sound, and you can look over and face it. With a suppressor, the sound is muffled, so you're not sure if the shot was from like 30 degrees west or 60 degrees west, right?
Yeah.
Let's do. And also, there's no flash.
Let's do your best suppressor noise. Let's go with 5.56. Give me. Pew, pew. All right, give me 22. All right, give me a 300 black. All right, 308. Okay, 50 cal.
I don't know if I can mimic that.
It's probably like, gah! It's like, boom. Yeah, it's like, bah! Yeah, it barely does anything.
Yeah, suppressors on 50 BMG are silly.
They work real good on 22 and 300 black. Because those are already quiet rounds.
Yeah, the 300 black sounds like, choo,
choo. Yeah, really, and we were talking about like scammy suppressors.
I still haven't talked about my wipe suppressor, but go on.
Okay, we're talking about scammy suppressors, but
yeah,
we were saying like, one of them that people always get scammed with is 22s, yeah, and the other one is 300 blacks. And you can tell in YouTube videos whenever people have like really good suppressors that they paid a lot more for,
yeah,
on 300 black and really bad ones, because like you should barely hear a 300 black and you should not have ears on at all whenever you have a really good suppressor on it.
If you're outside.
Yeah, and sometimes people just like are shooting them and it sounds about the same.
If you're outside and you're using subsonic ammo and you have a really good suppressor, they can be hearing safe, but I want to put a huge giant fucking asterisk by that. If you're indoors, if your suppressor isn't super good, if your ammo isn't perfectly subsonic, like wear hearing protection, because yeah, if any of that is even slightly off, you can damage your ears.
Everybody's seen the video where they're like, I can't even hear the round, but whenever it hits the steel's louder.
It's, yeah,
like, wow, I can't believe it.
Yeah, you can get guns that quiet. Okay, yeah. So that's, I talked about baffle suppressors. I want to talk about the wipe suppressor now, mm-hmm, and why they're very different and why you don't see a lot of them in the U.S. So we talked about baffle suppressors. They got those little pockets that trap air and slow it down after the round. They're not slowing the round down, just the air behind it. And also, there's a few different kinds of suppressors, but I'm just going to talk about these two. And then the wipe suppressor is basically, it's a muzzle attachment that goes on the end of your barrel, and there's like basically a large hollow cylinder, and then it's got what is essentially like cotton swabs in the barrel. And as you shoot into it, the bullet passes straight through them because they're just like little like cotton thin fabric things, and yeah, it doesn't slow the bullet down very much. But the gas behind the round is slowed down significantly and is caught way more effectively than a baffle. It's almost like it's being soaked up by this little fabric wipe material.
Yeah.
You know, like those face pads, like alcohol wipes that people, yeah, wear on their face so they like have clearer skin or whatever. Yeah. They look a lot like that. So what's the problem with a wipe system? So number one, they have to be sealed completely in the suppressor to be effective. Mm-hmm. And then also, after you shoot through the wipes a few times, they become very ineffective. Like, they will wear out super quick.
Oh, so it's like a suppressor that goes bad much quicker.
Yeah, it's a suppressor that goes bad after, like, and I don't have the numbers, but I remember Russia made one, like, in the 80s, and you could fire, like, 50 rounds through it, and then it was basically not a suppressor anymore.
So it's only good to kill a CEO once.
Basically.
Okay.
However, for those first 50 shots, you eliminate a lot of the issues from that baffle suppressor, and it's really quiet, like really quiet.
And it just doesn't have the longevity.
It doesn't have longevity. So, and by the way, if you have a system where you can replace those baffles, or I'm sorry, not the baffle, the wipes, replace the wipes, then it's actually pretty effective.
Yeah.
However, yeah, it has to be completely sealed in. So what, are you going to break your suppressor in half to replace the wipes? A lot of these times, they end up just throwing them away and getting a new one.
So I just pay $7,000 for my gun.
Yeah.
And then I shoot 50 rounds through it, and now it's useless.
Yep.
And it's not going to come out.
Yep.
And
so why would you ever use a wipe suppressor? Well, basically, like I just said, for the first 50 rounds, they're really, really good. And if you have some method, like there are a few creative methods people have found to like replace the wipes, you can do that. But in the U.S., we have a great law called the National Firearms Act, where you have to basically get the government's approval to have a suppressor, and you have to pay a tax, like a $200 tax.
You can't just get a lot.
So you can't just buy, and all the wipes are considered suppressor parts.
Oh, you can't even get it without getting another stamp.
You have to pay $200 and fill out an ATF form to get more suppressor wipes to replace them. So in the U.S., you basically never see them.
Okay.
They are cool, and I think you'd see a lot more of them if our laws made any sense. But a baffle suppressor, I mean, other than like cleaning it every once in a while, you don't have to do any maintenance on it.
That's pretty cool.
So people always get the baffle suppressors, and that's why like a lot of people don't even know the difference, because it's just not relevant to the American gun owner. Like, you get a baffle suppressor, and that's that. You don't even consider the wipe option, because what, am I going to shoot 50 rounds and then pay another $200 and wait another 2 months to get a new suppressor or whatever? No, no way.
Especially when you're trying to look cool for your friends.
Right. So the VSS, the reason I'm bringing all of this up, has a really, really cool system with a wipe suppressor. It's integral to the gun, and all you have to do is crack open, like, they have a really cool way to like crack open the suppressor halfway. Ooh. And replace those wipes.
Oh, okay, so they've already fixed the problem, but basically, we don't know if this guy will.
Well, yes.
I bet he won't even make it a wipe suppressor, too.
He might make it a baffle one, because what that doesn't solve is the law. Yeah. Like, you can't buy more wipes still. So I think that the suppressors in the VSS that would be American-made, it's probably going to be some weird, like, it's almost going to be like an MP5 SD suppressor, where it's, like, slowing the round down and the gas, and it's a baffle thing. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what this guy's planning to do, but I just wanted to explain, like, wipe suppressors and why they're cool, but we don't have them. So, anyway. Casey, you want to talk about our next topic?
Okay. So we've already talked about the Ruger RXM. And we were saying we're going to wait to see what happens if it's the Glock killer. Yeah. Nothing's the Glock killer yet. Ruger RXM, we talked about before, and now I'm doubling down on it. I said, I think this one will be the one that if I had a buddy and they said they were going to buy a Glock, but they want to buy it cheaper, and they were like, which one should I buy? There's a billion clones. I think you should go with the Ruger.
The Ruger seems like a really good option.
Terglocken also.
The Terglocken is very interesting. I want to point out neither of us have shot these guns, so this is just our like initial impressions. I think we're probably eventually going to get a Terglocken or the RXM.
Yeah.
One of the two. I did want to point out something really cool about the RXM that I think we forgot to mention last time.
Yeah.
Is that the serial number on it is like on one of the, I'm going to get the terminology wrong, but it's like on like the front receiver of the pistol, like where your trigger's mounted and stuff.
Yeah.
It's not on the frame, because Glocks have their serial number on the frame, so you can't modify that part because it's legally the gun.
Yeah.
And you can replace all the other parts, but basically they made the Ruger made this gun a lot easier to like modify your grip and change things, which is cool. So
it's just like, it's just nice. We like that Magpul is involved in it. Now you can get any color of the frame. You can customize it a lot. And it's just like, they've done a lot of stuff that Glock never does.
Yeah.
Yeah. These Magpul mags sound much better than the Glock mags. Yeah. They're about the same. I trust Magpul a lot.
Yeah, I do too.
Which is why I like this RXM.
Yeah.
You can get a new frame and a new slide for this gun legally. It's still, the gun is the trigger housing. Not the trigger housing, but that's kind of what it looks like when you pull it out.
It's like,
It looks like just like a little metal square frame that comes out.
Where the front retention pin of the Glock sits. Like that little block of the gun is where the serial number is. And if you've disassembled the Glock past just taking the slide off, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
There's two pins on a Glock. The front one holds like this big block kind of halfway through the slide. That's the part that the serial number
is. There's a great video I saw that was like dumb internet stuff. And it was like, do you like to train with your gun? Here's a little tip for you. If you have a Glock, you should just buy another Glock frame, and then you should have your optic on one, and the other one can have iron. So then you can transition your slides to have you can practice with your optic, and you can practice with your irons. And it was like, dude, what? That costs the same price as buying another Glock.
Yeah.
So he's saying, like, here's a cheap way to... And it was like, oh, the frame, the most expensive part of a Glock?
Yes.
Yeah, you're basically buying a Glock. So, and that's all the comments. All the comments was like, this guy's an idiot.
That is idiotic. Yeah. You just paid $600
for a new frame.
To so train that with him irons. Without irons.
Or why you could take your optic off.
If you really need to do that. And by the way, you just need to train with one system. Just
you don't need to.
Get good with one tool and stop messing with...
It was just like... A horrible take by some guy on YouTube who just so happened to have two fucking slides and wanted to make a video to get views.
Spontaneous topic, because we didn't plan on talking about this, but I want to bring it up to you. What do you think about backup irons on rifles and pistols? Like, what do you think about the option of having those?
On pistols, it's fine. On rifles, I mean, you're going to be fine point shooting if you have to use irons at such a point. Yeah. Your irons probably aren't going to come off when you put an optic on anyways.
Yeah.
So
I think it really depends on what you're doing. Like, if I was, like, let's say I was, like, a soldier in, like, trench warfare and stuff, and I had no idea when I was going to get to do maintenance on my gun past, like, cleaning the ejection port and stuff.
You'd put them on there.
I'd put backup irons on because I don't know if my battery's going to die or if my optic is going to get broken, and I want something that's backup. But as a civilian, I feel like I'm not really at risk of my optic breaking, and if it does, I can always, like, get more from the minute. Like, I have a warranty on my optic, so.
The big fear of your optic running out of batteries and stuff is so big online. Yeah. Like, people paid so much for their little optic, and they're so scared it's going to break at every point. Or, like, they fucked up something, put it in or something, so their optic dies. I had one optic that died, and I put a new battery in, and it worked.
Yep.
And then I had to re-zero it. And
yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, Magpul plastic flip-ups that go on your AR are about $30 to $40. So if it's a problem, or you think it's going to be a problem, just buy the Magpul ones. They're fine. Everybody talks shit on the plastic Magpul flip-ups. They're fine. They're not going to break. Just don't break any car windows with your plastic Magpul.
The Imbus sights, I personally don't have backup irons on a lot of my rifles because I just don't – I've never needed them. I've really never been in a spot where my optics just completely failed and broke other than an incident which shall not be named – in which we went to the range and somehow my scope got broken before we got a chance to shoot the rifle.
We've talked about this so many times. I fucking hit it on some concrete.
Then
optic gets beat by concrete and retard.
Optic gets beat. And to be fair, it was the riser that broke, not even the optic itself.
Yeah, and I broke that fucker good.
Yeah, that thing snapped right the fucking half.
Yeah. I was looking inside. I was like, oh, man, they used cheap metal on this, Sean. Come on.
Went,
and then he was mad at me.
I was mad. That I was pretty mad.
He made a mean little face at me. And I said, uh-oh.
But that's all I did. I
was like, optics can't be that much. Come on, Sean. And then they gave you a new one.
They did give me a new one, which was nice.
And they were like, how did you break it? And they were like, just give it to Case for 2 minutes.
I was like a Marine Corps veteran who served his country and is a war hero. Fucking slammed it on the fucking ground.
All right, we got another pop-up topic, and I'm going to do a podcast pee so you can rant.
God damn it, no. No, you're not doing a podcast pee because we're only fucking 32 minutes in. You hold it.
Holy shit, we're at 30.
Hey, Squibbles, it's me, Sean. At about this point in the recording, Case and I got into a pretty heated argument that lasted about 30 minutes. Our editor is going to cut around it and show you a snippet of it, but right after that, we'll get back to the gun talk. I'll see you guys on the other side.
Dude, I told you, stop fucking pissing in the middle of the recordings.
Oh, so I have to pee. God forbid, Case drank 90 beers.
I told you to go piss before the recording. We do this every single fucking time.
Okay, I only pissed like 9 times the last one.
Yeah, it's just hold it for like an hour. Yeah, how many YouTubers do you watch and they don't piss in the middle of the fucking recording?
Here I am trying to be a nice guy and show you Case breaks.
Oh, yeah.
All right, boys, we're back. Not much happened, but yeah, we're all chilled out. Yeah, no big deal.
Yep.
So what's some stuff I've broken?
You've broken so much shit.
I broke your scope on your AR. I've like got guns stuck. I'm trying to pull them apart because I didn't know how to. Like taking slides off. Every time I come to Sean's parties I always break at least one bottle of alcohol because I'm the best.
Yeah, I mean, the things that come to mind immediately are the scope mount. I'm probably never going to get over that. That was bad. That was like a $300 scope, and we drove so far to go and shoot at that range.
Yeah, then we had to shoot with our backup
iron sights, which sucked because they were the Magpul flip-up. And they're fine, but when I buy a $300 scope, man. Anyway.
Then we had a good range day, though, because that's whenever we absolutely threw lead down range.
Yeah,
I remember pissed.
I remember I was in a really bad mood, so I was dumping some AK rounds down range, and that felt good.
Yeah, and then
Jack Daniels bottle, beer bottles.
Your car. Remember whenever I messed up your trash can whenever I just kept closing it? Because he has a automatic opening and closing and you're not supposed to just slam it. I slammed it one time
trunk.
And he was like, you can't just push it.
Yeah.
I slammed your trunk. One time I had weights in the back of your car because we were doing hikes with weights.
And it poked a hole in the back of my felt cover on my car.
It went away. We'll say it went away.
Yeah, we'll say it
went
away.
There's just a little circle that's about the shape of a pop can.
Oh, God. That's still there. What else? I feel like you've broken a lot of shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like the stereotype is that Marines break stuff, and I think you're just living up to it. I will say,
been having a good year of not breaking stuff.
I had a really nice antique instrument in a case one time, and you came over and you kicked it really hard.
Yeah, I kicked the box and you were like, steel-toed boots. Damn it, Case. And I was like, oh, I was saying, what's in there? And you were like, oh, an antique violin that's very important to me. Yes. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Good thing it's in that hard case.
The violin was fine.
Yeah, I just immediately just take everything too aggressive.
But that's okay. So
it's awesome.
Okay, we got to move on. I got a little distracted there. What are we at? I think it's like an hour and 20 or something recording. So let's... fuck me, we didn't even talk about guns for so long. All right, talk about we were talking about SHOT Show, so let's talk about the PSA 50 BMG thing. So PSA announced tons of new guns at SHOT Show, but one of them, the most interesting ones they announced, is basically a Barrett 82 clone, like a semi-auto 50 BMG rifle.
And they want to make it cheap, and they want you to vote on it, and they're like... And, I mean, obviously it's a 50 BMG, so our first worries are every YouTuber ever has been blown up by one.
Yeah, they're very dangerous if you do them wrong.
Yeah, so we're having a cheap 50 cal semi-automatic, even worse. And you just know people are going to absolutely fucking kill themselves with this. It's going to be awesome, so go vote for it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, so the cheapest 50 BMG on the market that I know of is the Barrett M99, and those run for right about $5,000.
Is it semi?
No, it's bolt action.
Yeah.
The cheapest semi-auto, and someone could probably find one cheaper, but like I know the M82 is right about $9,000, and that's like a really reputable, good semi-auto Barrett 50 BMG. So I personally wouldn't spend less than like $7,000.
Yeah. I just don't – this is like their most ambitious ideal.
Yeah, this is crazy to try.
That they're just like, oh, we're going to make – and I got the number wrong because they also made another gun, and they said how much that one would probably cost.
Yeah. So, Case, when you brought this up to me, you're like, yeah, they're going to charge $2,000 for it. And I was like, there's no fucking
way. He was like, what the fuck?
We looked it up. They haven't actually announced how much they think it'll be, but I'm going to guess like $4,000 to $5,000.
Yeah.
Which is, I hope.
The cheapest.
They're like, it's the cheapest 50 BMG on the market. So that would imply less than $5,000 or like right at $5,000. And I think. That's crazy.
Takes Barrett mags, semi.
Yep.
And they just like already have it there. And that's the problem with them. They were like, oh, we already got this. We could make it if you give us money.
Yeah. I will say it being semi-automatic and not bolt action actually makes me trust it a lot more. Guns that blow up when they're semi-automatic tend to do a lot less damage to the user than like bolt guns and things like that.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say they're not going to explode. And PSA generally in the last few years has had really good quality control with their parts.
Yeah.
But it's just like, man, I would hate to get that 1 in 10,000 gun that has a problem with its bolt. Like there's a crack in it or something and then it explodes and it's 50. So I don't know. That sketches me out pretty bad.
And then the one that we did learn the price of was the Sabre 2011, which is a Staccato. They're making a cheap Staccato
clone.
Yeah. And it looks, I mean, it's Palmetto. There's other options that are cheaper than Staccato. So this one isn't even that interesting to us.
Right.
But they're making a Sabre 2011, which is a double stack 9mm 2011. Yeah. That is going to be probably $2,000 is what they said on all their websites. Right.
Which is, that's a few hundred bucks cheaper than like a Staccato brand 2011.
I think the cheapest Staccato is like $2,500.
I think, like 23-ish, 24
Platypus
maybe.
Is still the best option. It's $1,700.
Yeah, which.
They didn't even beat Platypus. This is why it's not very interesting to us.
Yeah.
And then almost everything else they released wasn't that, the most interesting they had was a 50 cal and a shotgun.
Yeah, the shotgun was pretty cool because it's built on an 870 receiver. Mm-hmm. Or was it a Mossberg 500? It was some very popular, like, existing shotgun receiver.
Yeah.
And you can put, like, semi-auto parts or pump-action parts. It's very flexible with what stocks you can put on it. It's got an RMR cut. It's, like, just a pretty cool shotgun
idea. And they thought of everything because you can pump it or you can make it semi-auto. But once you have it semi-auto, where it can be charged at.
Yeah.
Is not reciprocating, so you won't hit your hand if you're shooting it.
Right, right.
Which is very nice. Which think of the scar that we have. Wherever, if you're holding it the wrong way, that scar will bounce. The charging handle will bounce back and fucking knock your fingers off.
Yeah,
yeah.
With the reciprocating charging handle, I sidetrack on the scar talk. I have the non-reciprocating charging handle version
of the scar.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So when you shoot the scar on the NCRH, which is non-reciprocating charging handle, it doesn't move around, and your fingers are safe. However, I have actually seen criticism, like people tend to prefer the reciprocating one, because as long as you keep your fingers and shit out of the way, it's fine.
Yeah.
And then also, it's just easier to charge the weapon, I hear, with the reciprocating version.
Oh, is it lighter? Because we were playing with it earlier, and it was pretty hard charging handle.
It's stiff, but that's because I don't have very many rounds through it. Like, I think I've got probably, like, 400 or 500 rounds through it at this point, which is not very much at all.
Gotta grease her up.
Well, just shoot it a whole lot until it becomes less stiff.
You think you got 400 rounds through it already?
I definitely have.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Someone's been having fun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It pokes big holes in paper. But anyway.
So big.
Yeah. So I don't know about the PSA Lancet. I think my plan for this is I'm going to let the gun come out, and then a year after it's out and people, like five people blown up, and then they fix the issue, then I'll might get it.
So. And also, like, the same thing we were just saying about PSA earlier is they make you vote on all these guns, and what kind of happens is they have, like, two guns that are really cool, which to us would be the it'd probably be the 50. We'd vote for that just so that it would get released, so maybe one day we could buy them.
Yeah.
And then it would be the shotgun because that's very good, ideal.
Yeah.
And then, I guess, what would be your next one? Probably the Saber 2011.
The 2011 was interesting. They had a few other interesting ones. You know, ironically, I can't remember what they were now, but they had, like, some sort of, like, Glock ported slide thing that seemed kind of interesting.
They made another Glock, guys. Yeah. Everybody watch out.
I mean, that was at least, like, it interested me enough that I would watch a review on it from somebody else and watch other people shoot it and consider getting it. But I've already got enough Glock. Like, I have so many Glocks at this point. But
they had, like, a 365 copy, too.
Did they?
We didn't even watch it because we skipped it because there's so many fucking... just buy a 365.
They had, like, another Russian submachine gun clone that wasn't the Vichaz.
Yeah, they just keep making 9mm carbines, like we were saying. They had a MAC-10 copy, which everybody really liked that one.
Yeah, that seemed interesting. And I was like, I don't know why. Yeah, I don't know. I feel... I was talking to Case about this earlier, but I'm like... When you're making, like, a clone of, like, a submachine gun or a PDW and it's semi-auto, I'm like, But I know it's really hard to access full-auto guns and stuff.
The problem is every gun is better auto.
Yeah, like, a lot of those guns are just, like, the purpose of them is to be full-auto, so I'd rather kind of just...
Is it the TMP, the one that everybody loves?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the one...
MP9, yeah.
The one they copied was basically just that.
Yeah.
But they were like, it's a MAC-10. It was like, it's not MAC-10. It is.
Yeah. It's ish. It's MAC-10-ish.
It's between the two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cool. It's another nine. But I don't personally have a need for that. I've got my AKV. That's, like, the best 9mm thing.
Yeah. We got tons of nine everywhere, so.
Yeah.
I would shoot all of them. It would be fine, but there's just so many.
Yeah.
We didn't need four more.
No, I don't think we did. So, okay, we got our next topic, which is, I want to talk about this for a little bit. This is my topic, but Alien Gear holsters. It's similar to PSA in that they're kind of known for being, like, an affordable alternative brand. Like, PSA makes, like, cheaper, good guns that are comparable to, like, tie-in stuff, you know? I personally, like, Case, do you know Alien Gear holsters at all? Like, have you heard of them?
Not until you showed me them today, and they're awesome.
You like them?
Yeah.
So I think they're very similar to PSA in that, like, in 2016, PSA got shit on a lot because they made ARs that had a lot of problems, and that was kind of it. Like, they made a few other guns, but mainly they had a website that sold other people's stuff, and they made their own ARs, and they were just not that great.
Yeah.
And then over the years, they got better and better at making their own stuff, and now they're really good. Alien Gear is kind of the same way. They're a holster company. I have been buying holsters from them since I've been carrying guns. An Alien Gear holster was my first holster ever.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I concealed my Glock 22 Gen 3 in it.
Oh, that's what we were just looking at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was my everyday carry for, like, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years.
That's the one with the cloth on the back?
Yep.
Damn, that's an Alien Gear?
Yep.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I carried that for, like I said, like a year and a half, 2 years. But when I first started carrying a gun, it was a full-size Glock 22 chambered in 40.
Mm-hmm.
And I carried two spare mags, which is insanity. And I carried, this is also a funny story, like, I would carry with a full round of, full mag of 15 rounds, chamber a round, and then top off that mag I just chambered with. So I was carrying 46 rounds of 40 Smith & Wesson hollow points with me.
You're ready to shoot a match.
I was ready to shoot, yeah, I really could have shot a USPSA match with that.
If you accidentally went to Walmart and a USPSA match was set up, you would have fucking got number one.
I would have. I mean, it's just insane to think about, like, when I was a kid doing that, I mean, by kid, I mean, like, early 20s.
Yeah.
Like, I was bringing that to work. I was bringing that to, like, grocery stores and, like, all sorts of shit. And I'm just like, man, that was so overkill.
There's this thing about USPSA, while we're talking about this, I'll just throw you off a loop board.
Sure.
Have you heard of power factor in matches?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so there's, like, rifle matches wherever if you have a 5.56, you have to shoot each target twice.
Yeah.
And if you have a 308, You only have to shoot them once.
Yeah.
So it's like a huge advantage.
Yeah, same with pistols. Power factor. Like, if you have a 45 ACP, you have to shoot the target less, yeah.
Yeah, and people are, like, still losing, only shooting once, which you get time at it for the power factor, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's just, like, crazy that you only have to shoot. I did not know about that.
Yeah, that's
saves ammo.
We've only ever shot with 9mm handguns and stuff.
Yeah, if you ever go over 9, then you get the power factor and only have to shoot them once. If you go to 308, like, you have an AR-10.
Yeah.
Or maybe you go shoot it with a SCAR. You only have to hit it once.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely shoot a match with my SCAR.
Yeah, thank God you only have to shoot him once, right?
Yeah, because, yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure I could stand near paper targets with the SCAR and it would, like, knock them over.
Which is kind of a realistic thing because you do not need to shoot a target twice with 308.
There's no replacement for shot placement.
Yeah.
I mean, if you shoot stuff where you need to shoot it, then you really generally only need one round. I mean, I'm generalizing. There's certain rounds where, like, you probably shouldn't be using to shoot at people, but anyway.
On your Alien, I would compare it to a cheaper Safari Land that works probably just as good. And it has benefits that the Safari Land doesn't have.
Yeah.
And I really like that.
Well, I just ordered my fourth Alien gear holster. I've used four of them. One broke, but that was because that wasn't the holster's fault. It was me being really rough with it.
One out there?
Well, those are my first two.
Yeah.
My third one broke. And I'm ordering a fourth one. And I gotta say, I've been ordering them for a while now. And at first, I think they had a lot of valid criticisms, like the early ones from like the late 2010s and stuff. I think that those holsters were not the most durable, and I wouldn't necessarily recommend them for like duty use, like a cop or whatever.
Yeah.
Because they're just, my head goes to like, what if you're wrestling a crackhead and he's like yanking at your holster and it breaks off?
That
like
Safari Land.
You want a Safari Land, something that's like really tough and durable. And I don't think the Alien Gear holsters back then were good enough for that. But now, I mean, they're so much better than they were. And they're about the same price as they were, too.
Yeah.
So
we can talk about the Lucas thing, too.
Oh, yeah.
So I carry a T-Rex Arms, and it wasn't because I bought it from their website. I just got a cheap one. So I carry it. They have plastic clips. They're not the best.
Yeah.
They're not even close to, like, the best holsters. But they're good and affordable, and they work.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Lucas saw, like, a picture of some guy who people were saying was Special Forces who had a T-Rex Arms holster on.
Yeah.
And it was like, this guy's probably not even Special Forces. Everybody was roasting him. They were like, do you really think you make holsters as good as Safari Land that everybody buys?
Yeah.
And every Special Forces, Delta, everybody. Like, even just, like, basic military buys Safari Land above those because they have the money.
Right.
It was like, Lucas, you're not in the same playing field as these guys. And then it came out that guy wasn't even Special Forces. And it was just kind of like his own kit, and he took a picture with it. So Lucas looked like an idiot.
He does look like an idiot. And I also, I'm pretty sure, I might be getting this wrong, but I'm pretty sure he got in trouble one time because he had claimed to, like, teach classes to, like, law enforcement and special forces groups.
And he doesn't.
And he doesn't.
Yeah.
I don't know what he was doing, but I think he, like, had, like, a fun range day, and some of those guys showed up, and then he twisted that and be like, I taught a class. And it's like, no, you didn't. You just shot with them a few times.
There's, like, not that much to learn. Like, these guys are not, like, in the field forever and teaching you stuff that's going to blow you away. People who are, I don't know, like people who go out of their way to shoot lots of rounds and stuff and are actual trainers are probably going to teach you more than the guy who is in Special Forces for a while, retired, and now he teaches classes. I mean, look at Sheriff of Baghdad. He's the fucking best shooter of all time. He's fucking slayed tons of bodies, and he's selling you a leather holster.
Yeah, he's kind of a FUD in, like, few ways.
He, like, doesn't want you to put an optic on it because if you kill anybody with it, they're going to take your gun. Put a fucking optic on your gun. Just have them take your gun. Your life is still here. Now you're still making money. Buy a new one.
Yep.
You're going to get the gun back eventually. It might take 2 years. It might take 4 years, but you'll get it back eventually.
But the gun did its job.
Yeah. Don't fucking try to save money in your shootout that might happen.
Yeah. Just,
Well, that way you should just buy a Glock 19. Nothing on it, and fucking put ball ammo in there.
Yeah, which is silly.
And then you should just keep it in your pocket, save money on the holster, too.
This is a horrible idea.
Bad Cop's going to take the holster, too, huh?
I've said this a few times on a few previous episodes, but, like, the Special Forces guy that's on YouTube is generally not a reputable source of information. However, I will say, like, I never get why those guys don't make videos on how to do, like, soldier stuff. Like, it'd be really cool if those guys made videos on, like, here's the best way to, like, wear a backpack or, like, tie a knot or, like, here's, like, the best orders you can memorize if you're going to join the Army. Like, I don't know why they don't talk about that stuff. I guess it doesn't get them as many clicks as, like, here's how to shoot an MP7.
Here's how to fucking slay bodies.
But
they don't even talk about kit enough, which is all I want to see from them.
Yeah.
And, like, they, I mean, I tried to watch a good video wherever they were reviewing three different prices on plate carriers.
Yeah.
And the one that was the lowest was the Condor one, which is literally the one we have. It's about $60 on Amazon. And then they went all the way up to Cry Precision. And they were like, what's the benefit of Cry Precision? There's plenty of room for your radios.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay, I don't need a radio. I'm a civilian. Are we talking to a civilian? Or is this just talking to a small niche group of military people who are going to get issued a radio? Because those radios are $2,000.
Yeah. And also, you don't... Like, a walkie-talkie is a good idea to have at, like, a shooting range if you're, like, operating a different bay and stuff. But you don't need to have that, like,
on your chest rig. And they clip on to your chest rig. You don't need a pocket for them whenever they're that small. The ones that the military use are huge, which is why you need the big pocket.
Well, because a lot of those guys, like, combat controllers and stuff, they're talking to, like, planes and air traffic control. Yeah. And, like, if you're at a shooting range, you need to talk to a guy who's, like, 200 or 300 yards that way.
Yeah.
Not up in the sky. You know, it's just a different
need. Radios that shoot over mountains compared to radios that... reach the other side of the flat range.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's it. So.
And so in this whole video, they're reviewing plate carriers. They do the $60 one, and everything in the $60 one would work if you want to pay $200, so $140 more. Yeah. You get the Haley Strategical, and the Haley Strategical fixed every problem.
Haley Strategic, yeah.
I don't even think I would pay for the Cry compared to Haley. Haley's was better.
Haley makes good stuff.
So... the cheapo mag pouches and stuff are all with bungee cords, which is what we have.
Yep.
And they kind of suck, but also you don't even need to use them because your retention's not going to fall out. And if you double stack mags in there, it's definitely not going to come out.
For sure.
And those bungees, immediately you just push them to the side. Some people even tape them or cut them out of the way. But what Haley does is he has little plastic inserts that no matter what, they're not coming out.
Yeah. And so, his is a really good solution to that problem.
And the Cry didn't even have that.
I definitely think that... if you're going to cheap out on stuff, it obviously depends on your needs, right? But like, if you're like us and you're training and you're basically having fun and it's like a hobby thing, I think you can cheap out on your plate carrier.
Yeah, you don't need a
just be aware of the drawbacks. Like, my plate carrier and like my Molly setup is not very good. Like, I'll be the first to tell you, it's not the best.
The first thing you can't do with it is you don't have side zappies.
Yeah.
You don't have, it doesn't fit the best. It's not easy to rip off if you catch on fire or something, which would be something that would happen if you're in a
actual firefight.
Yeah, which is where you would need the good stuff, but you don't have the funding of the military.
And also, I don't necessarily need that. Like, that's stuff that would be cool, and I would love to get... but I'd rather get a new gun and more ammo than upgrading my, like, chest rig.
Yeah, I like how you only have one front plate.
I don't... yeah.
Don't reveal that you have no back plate. Don't
tell me. Actually do have other back plates. I just don't keep them in the carrier.
Hey, there we go. We got money.
I do have other plates. I just don't put them in the back, because why would I? If don't I'm going to... if my gun blows up and sends shrapnel back at me, it's not... I hopefully don't need a back plate. Hopefully it's not hitting me back there.
Yeah.
But if I get blowback from a steel plate, I mean, my body armor on my front is what's going to catch it, so...
Sean doesn't put a back plate in because his favorite movie is Black Hawk Down, and those boys didn't either.
Yeah. I played the Somali guys.
Yeah.
All of them.
The skinnies.
Yeah, that was me.
No, but, I mean, there's... and... I think one of the most important videos that you should watch before you even look at plate carriers is a battle belt. And everybody always skips over that one. A battle belt or a good backpack to carry all your stuff. Yeah. And I have so many military backpacks and I hardly ever use them. So just go straight to a battle belt.
Yeah, Casey, you're very knowledgeable about like kit and packing up your stuff and like just organizing belts and things like that. So
you know how the guns work.
I do know how to gun work.
I know how to gun shoot. And I know how to kit work.
Yeah.
And then we combine those powers and we're...
we become super guys. Autistic man.
Autistic men on the range.
Yeah, that's...
nothing's better than buying a kit that costs you tons of money and then you wear it in front of your girlfriend and she gets mad.
Yeah, she's like, why the fuck did you buy that?
What, are you scared?
Yeah.
You want to be scared?
That's why I sold my house and bought night vision goggles so I can see coyotes and then not shoot them because...
if your girlfriend complains about your front plates, put her on the ground and then just start doing push-ups and hitting her with it. On top of her. Hold her down while you hit her with a plate and be like, yeah, you can't get through that, huh?
If your girlfriend starts complaining about how much money you spend on your plate carrier, just start microwaving tuna at all hours of the night.
Yeah, in the metal can.
In the metal can, yeah.
If your girlfriend starts complaining about all the kit and all the guns you have, just tell her that she's a DoorDash driver for her second job.
What?
Yeah. Be like, your first job doesn't even pay enough.
The fuck are you talking about?
Now you got a DoorDash.
I think that we might be projecting or something.
We're projecting.
And then... here's a pro tip, guys. You know, we are always...
tell your girl she's dumb.
Yeah, great idea, too. Never respect her. If she says no or, like, doesn't want something, I mean, just be like, ah, you're overreacting. You know?
And if your girl makes more than you, cool. Mm-hmm.
Imply that she's been gaining weight. Yeah, right. I'm getting big.
You've
over there.
You've been working too much. Been eating too much of that job.
Somebody's not getting all their fries,
yeah.
huh?
Yeah, and then tell her she needs a diet.
Yeah, so yeah.
And then use the diet money that you're saving because you're not feeding her as much and buy more kit.
Pre-order a VSS.
Yeah, and buy more kit.
Babe, you're going to love it. I pre-ordered a VSS.
One skipped meal is a new tourniquet for your kit.
That's true, and your wife's getting skinnier.
Yeah.
So yeah. There you go.
As soon as her ass starts going away, though, that's whenever you got to start being like, babe, you're looking great.
Family trip, we're going to McDonald's.
Yeah, we are. I'm getting you a Happy Meal.
Pokemon
cards in them.
Pokemon, or whatever that lady's name is.
We need to talk about movies that would be good if they had guns. Pokemon.
First of all, that's a great choice. I do want to talk about something real quick. I never finished talking about Alien Gear holsters.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're good now. I ordered the Rapid Force Swivel Drop Leg holster, and it's not here yet. But to me, that is the only alternative I could find for like a level 3 retention holster that would fit an acro without modifying it. Just out of the box, you can fit a gun with an acro on it in this holster. And like leg drop holsters have a lot of like criticism because like they can move when you run. They're maybe not as like accessible as like a belt holster, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Alien Gear came up with this like swivel system that I haven't seen on any other holsters. And basically when you run, there's like a little weird little like pulley swivel system on the holster that keeps it in place while you're like jumping up and down and running and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cool. So I ordered one and I'm going to see how it works. But I watched a lot of reviews and watched a video on it. And I think it's a really good alternative to a Safariland holster if you want level 3 retention and you have a big optic on your gun.
Is your last holster that you use for matches Alien?
No, that was an off-brand called Scorpion Gear.
You can buy.
Yeah, you can buy. Just it's cheap. Screw
came loose
in the middle of a thing we were doing, and it, you know, my gun didn't fall out of the holster, but it was
upside down.
It was like wobbly and upside down. So
I was like, Sean, your gun's upside down.
And I was like, ooh.
Didn't break that one, boys.
No, that was just me running, and I was rolling around on the ground and shit.
We went and did a snow range, and we lost a lot of shit in the snow.
A lot of our shit broke.
Yeah.
So
testing the elements, as soon as the first element that people prepare for showed up, all our gear broke. It's almost like we should have spent more money.
You know what didn't break and was really great and worked really well in that snow was the Scar.
Yeah, it worked perfectly.
Scar worked great in that snow. But anyway, Alien Gear, to me, it gets a 5 out of 5, broken scope mounts out of 5. It gets 2 thumbs up. It gets one poorly reloaded 9mm brass.
It gets one case slap to the concrete. Absolutely decimated.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty
rough. Should let me hold your holster.
Yeah, that would have been
let me use it. We'll see how good it is. I'll fucking put it to the test.
Does this count as breaking something if you ruined a book that I had?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you want to
put my balls on it?
Case put his balls on one of my books.
Sean got me a book for a gift.
Birthday? No, I think it was just a random gift.
Yeah, just random gift, and I read it all. And then I sent him a picture of my balls on it. I said, damn, that shit was good. He was like, what the fuck? I don't want that back. Yeah. I think you said that you bought me a new one, but I think it turned out to actually just be yours.
I can't remember what exactly I said.
Mine, so I was like, balls on it.
What I intended to say was, hey, this is one of my favorite books. You can borrow it and read it and then give it back. But I don't know if I said that.
Yeah.
I had showered.
That's why I was naked and put my balls on it.
I like that you're like, oh no, my balls were clean. So
I think I was freshly shaved too.
God damn.
We'd have to look at the pic.
You had smooth, shaved, clean balls, and mm-hmm. you're just slapping it on my shit. Mm-hmm. That's moist. Fucking the least gay squib load moment.
There's a stamp on them. Oh. Certified fresh by Case.
Good. Looks like someone left prosciutto on the page.
Did look like prosciutto, huh?
Ew.
My big dog balls.
Gross, dude. Ugh, I'm gonna fucking throw up.
What we got next?
Movies that needs guns. You're talking about Pokemon.
Pokemon, you would be the best dueler in the Pokemon world if you had a gun.
I think you could do a mass shooting in Pokemon and no one would be able to stop you.
AK-47, I use you. Dude, you could fucking defeat all of them.
Yeah, you could.
Unless they go ultimate mode and they're huge.
Ultimate mode?
Yeah, they like get all big. There's some Pokemon game that came out where they, like, every Pokemon has a ultimate state and they're like as big as a goddamn skyscraper.
I use Law Rocket.
Yeah. That's like having an automatic weapon in the Pokemon world.
Yeah, it's having a giant like
Godzilla
sized Pokemon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine a school shooting in the Pokemon world, except they just pull up with Pikachu and he fucking zaps half the school.
And the Pokemon are like waiting in the hallway even though they can hear shots being fired.
Yeah, and the what counters lightning? Rock. So the cops have to show up with rock Pokemon to stop you.
Yeah. That'd be crazy. You're like sicking your Charizard on all the school children.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be insane.
Then they'd have to show up with Squirtle to stop it because he's a water Pokemon, which That's counters true. Fire.
Home Alone could have been solved with a gun.
Home Alone, I think he
had a BB gun.
He had a BB gun, and if that was a Ruger 1022,
those thieves would have died.
Yeah,
the thieves would have been like, ah,
freaking Jaws.
Yeah, there was a gun in Jaws. That is how they solved the problem in Jaws.
Yeah, the shark had a gun, though.
The shark had a gun?
Yeah, that's made him more dangerous.
He has a Mac 11.
We're going to need a bigger boat and better plates. He had a Mac 11?
The shark did, yeah.
Holy fuck.
That would be
shark
cool.
with a Mac?
Well,
that should be a movie.
You guys should follow us on Instagram because we actually had a really cool fan paint us fan art,
mm-hmm.
An acrylic painting, and it's like a squid holding two Glocks.
Mm-hmm. Or something that resembles
a It looks like a you drew a Glock, but you had never seen one.
Yeah.
But I don't want to talk shit, because it is really cool, and thank you for the fan art.
I like it.
I like it.
It looks
too.
Like a Glock 17 and a Glock 19, so it's ours.
I was going to say, that's both of our Glock setups there.
Our Turglockens.
Turglocken.
Squid blue.
I should have been like, this is nice, but can you make the squid Turkish?
Every time you tell people the thing's called squid blue, they're always like, what's it got to do with squids? And they put a squid on it, so it was awesome.
That is really funny.
It was like they went straight to the joke.
It's a type of malfunction, actually. I hate explaining that to
actually,
people.
It's like the worst malfunction you could get.
Yeah, it's the
most
dangerous.
I just met some guy who wants us to shoot at his range, and I told him the name of the podcast, and he was like, what's that? And I was like, oh my God.
Uh-oh.
Here we go again.
Yeah, that's why it's a great name for the podcast, though, is because like if you're a gun guy, you know what a squib load is. It's also like a funny, ironic thing because we're kind of running a shit show here.
Damn, I have two little Glocks, too.
Oh, he does have two. I never so noticed that before.
Yeah, he's got Glock 43s.
Damn, yeah, he's got a 43X, and then he's got a 48 Gen 5 on the right.
Hell yeah.
So that's pretty cool. Anyway, we're talking about art the audience can't see.
Oh, yeah.
Whoops. What other movies would be good with guns?
I said Monsters, Inc. You want to scare those kids? You just fucking go in there with a gun.
Chamber of...
Get on the fucking ground! Where's your parents? Where's the safe?
That would be pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of safes, I had another one. I had safes. If you have a safe and you keep your guns in your safe.
Yeah.
I had a buddy, and almost every time a safe fails and won't open, it is you're jamming something in the side of the safe, and, like, it's getting caught and all that stuff. Like, maybe a bag or something that would hold a gun would get stuck in there. But most of the time, it's batteries. So this guy has a lot of guns.
Yeah.
And he... his safe was locked, and it was locked for like 3 weeks. I told him to change the batteries. He changed the batteries, and it still wouldn't open. He called the safe smith out there. Safe smith came out, changed the batteries, and then it opened immediately. What was it? He just used old batteries. He replaced the old batteries that were dead with batteries that were dead.
Oh, my God.
So if you're ever replacing your batteries on your safe, make sure you buy brand new ones.
Yeah, that's a good piece of advice, because that probably would have stumped me, too. I'm just retarded enough.
It was like
enough,
3 weeks he said that he just didn't have all 20 of his guns.
God
he has
damn.
A big cannon one that's, like, huge.
Yeah, I have one of those.
Like, one of those walk-in ones, though.
Almost. Oh, yeah, mine's not that big.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's
two,
huge.
But so that's...
There's some advice for you guys.
There's some advice. I know also that if you get trapped out of your safe, like the code, and you can't reset it for whatever reason.
Always call the company.
I was going to say, you can call the manufacturer and they'll help you.
Yeah.
Every company's different, but they'll generally help you get in.
Also, just don't use the safe. Just fucking put your guns usually in like
baby
cradles.
Cribs. Yeah. I was going to say, you could take like a fish gutting knife and then carve a piece of your couch out and then stuff it in the soft cushiony bits.
I usually like load them with hot rounds that are like really old. And I left them in weather, and then I put them in, like, my girlfriend's car.
Yeah.
Yeah, just all over the place.
Yeah, I put a bunch
And then
bunch
I call
of...
tips on her. I'm like, yeah, there's somebody driving around armed. And I scare the neighbors whenever she gets pulled over again with another loaded gun.
I chamber an M1 Garand with a live round, and then I leave that in somebody else's passenger seat. So then when they fish it out, they yank the trigger.
I usually leave my drilled-out AR-15 inside her car, and then I call the cops on her. That's how you get a new girlfriend.
Yeah, well, sometimes you got to replace the models. You're like, this one's getting kind of old.
Yeah, you got to get a new girlfriend, so you just fucking sit her in jail for 20 years.
This one has heated
Teach her
seats.
A lesson on guns.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you think my guns aren't safe? I didn't go to jail for 20 years for illegal guns.
It's like Alec Baldwin. It's like, well, you fucking killed the guy with the gun. I didn't do that shit, so.
Yeah, you bastard.
Yeah, you fucking Alec Baldwin piece of shit.
You should always text tips on people that you don't like and say they have guns.
Definitely. Case, last question of Squibload Podcast.
Yes.
If you found a genie and you got 3 wishes, what would you wish for?
1 beer.
Yeah.
2 beers.
Uh-huh.
3 beers.
I'd get 3 blowjobs.
Three genie blowjobs. And, well, first wish, I can't come. Second wish, genie blowjob till I come.
Yep.
Third wish,
it's
therapy.
Therapy for the genie or for you?
For me.
Oh, okay.
The genie would suck my dick for 2 days.
Is it Robin Williams?
Hopefully. No, I want the Will Smith.
Will Smith sucking your dick?
Yeah, the new Will Smith genie.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like slapping you about his wife while he's doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. I want Mia Khalifa genie.
Mia Khalifa genie?
Yeah.
I want the guy who played Willy Wonka in the old movie, Gene Wilder.
Yeah.
But current dead Gene Wilder.
I want Gene Wilder going crazy on my cock.
And he's like bouncing up and down.
I just want Genie Blowjob.
Genie Blowjob. Gene Wilder Blowjob. Squib Load Podcast.
Squib Load Podcast.
We'll see you guys next week. Bye.